Ready, set, go!
Welcome into Checkpoint Esports and Gaming Radio. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Westwood One. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily for Thursday, November 8th, 2018, your daily source for esports and video game discussion. My name's Nate Bender. So glad to have you along. I want to thank everyone listening on WWKB 1520 in Buffalo and ESPN Radio 97.7, 100.1, and 1200 AM in Syracuse, New York. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, Esquire put out a list of the real, and for real, guys, we're really real, for sure real, greatest games of all time. We'll give our expert opinion on their list to see if it lives up to the hype. Plus, we have to rewind back to Worlds and talk about the absolutely insane opening ceremonies. But today, we start with Square Enix. Hajime Tabata recently announced his departure from the company, which is a huge loss for Square Enix. For those that don't know, Tabata was responsible for finishing Final Fantasy XV and was working on the DLC, which has now mostly been canceled. Joining me to help break down this important discussion is the Checkpoint Radio crew, Robbie Landis.
Moving the payload.
Over at the drop board, Norris Howard. And at the Checkpoint News Desk, Joe Sloan.
Check a look.
So, Nate, you said that Tabata was responsible for finishing Final Fantasy XV.
Well,
why is that exactly?
Well, that's because Nomura, who originally was working on the project, and it was originally not even 15, it was a spinoff of another game.
Of 13.
I thought
of
Nomura
13.
Was working on Kingdom Hearts 3.
Nomura has been working on Kingdom Hearts 3 for like 13 years.
I thought he was working on FF7 remake.
He also was working on that. He got kicked off of that project, actually, and they've had to start over.
Oh.
Yeah. So, then the FF7 project got farmed out to another team, and now it's back at Square Enix. So it seems like Nomura can't really do or follow through or finish anything.
Here's the problem. Here's the massive, massive problem here, is that Tabata was given, and I hate to take his side in this, he was given an impossible situation right here with 15. Taking a lead of that project was pretty much DOA. The game was going to come out. It was never going to be the game it should have been, right? Everything that was happening at Square Enix, none of it pointed towards this game really being that good. None of it. Everybody got their hopes up. And now they've lost, what, $33 million?
Yep, that's
of the
big thing, man.
Of the past fiscal year. And majority of that investment is paying for Final Fantasy 15.
And here's another wrinkle in this whole equation, is that it's now canceled significant portions of the second injection of DLC.
Three of four.
For Final Fantasy 15, right? Three out of four of those are gone. And now you have people who have bought season passes of DLC, and what are they going to get for the money that they invested?
Burned.
Nothing.
I mean, are they just going to get the one set of DLC? Are they going to be refunded their money? Like, what's going to happen with that? Now that Square Enix, and this is a AAA company that cannot follow through on their promises. They overpromised on DLC. Why they went back for a second season is insane to me. But now that they're going back for a second season, they have canceled three out of four pieces of those DLC. If I bought a season two DLC pass, I would be furious
right
now.
And on top of that, what other company has gotten away with stuff like this? Like, let's be honest. This
like
is
EA, probably.
Mass
Effect Andromeda did
EA,
this.
Hold
Nobody
on, no, no.
paid for that.
Nobody
though.
Paid for that
That's
until it, after it came out. And on top of that, they had already had a pretty good track record going up into it. They didn't have a decade worth of missed promises, canceled titles, pushback titles,
that. Square Enix.
Really bogus, promotional concepts and promotional campaigns. We've been dealing with this from Square Enix for going on 15
so
years.
So sit on that for a minute. Now, Square Enix has actually, in a way, surpassed EA in how terrible
and how
they
trash
are.
They are.
Wow.
I mean, kind of. Yeah. I'm not going to push back on that opinion at all, because this is really
a very deep scar that Square Enix has on them now. They have had multiple troubled developments around the Final Fantasy franchise, a game that I know is important to all of us. But Final Fantasy 14, when it had first come out in 2013 or 20
when 14 when, first came
yeah,
out?
Yeah, when first it 2012 somewhere
11,
around
I think yeah
yeah somewhere around there, and it was so bad that they had to blow that whole version of the game down and rebuild it. Square Enix has not really been able to recover from that.
That
I don't
think. That was 2010, actually.
That was 2010. Wow. So, I mean, you know, you've got a game that's had troubled development. It took 10 years to get to shelves. It moved to three different concepts for the project. And here's Nomura, who is sitting around continuing to be able to hold a job at Square Enix. And I have to imagine that Tabata probably got asked to fix some things on Kingdom Hearts 3
yep.
since it's coming out, and he just said, you know what, forget this.
Yeah.
If I had to guess, I don't know, this is all speculation on my part, but if I had to guess, I would bet that it's something close to that.
Well, you know, because in his statement, you know, leaving Square Enix, he did say that there are other things he would like to pursue, and what's next for him is he actually wants to create his own company for his next project.
You know, that didn't really work out very well for Hironobu Sakaguchi when he tried it.
Didn't.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on affiliate station 101 Sports in St. Louis or WOKR 1310 in Rochester, New York. We're currently talking about Hajime Tabata leaving Square Enix. And listen, I had put this out on Twitter and more than a few people had reacted to it. So I kind of want to set it in front of you guys and see what you think. Okay. I think that if you're Square Enix and you're looking at a game like Final Fantasy 15 hemorrhaging $33 million out of the company, and then you look at a game like Octopath Traveler or Bravely Default, which had modest development expectations and oversold those expectations drastically, if you're Square Enix, do you now suddenly say, okay, maybe we go back to making turn-based style games and still applying our graphical aptitude to them? I think that's the option that Square Enix could take here that might start digging them out of the hole.
But to me, I don't think they have any developers that can conceptualize that with the engine that they've built. I don't think Crystal Tools is really built for them to even try to scale it back. Of course, it's easier to work backwards.
Well, Square Enix needs to and has been slowly getting out of the business of making graphics engines. They have started relying on other, Unreal Engine and other engines to be able to power their games. So they need to keep doing that. And if they keep doing that, I do think that they have designers there that are good enough and a graphics department that is powerful enough to be able to make the best AAA turn-based game that we've seen in two generations.
But the question is, will they? And the answer is no. What this is
a referendum to Square Enix from their fans. They need to do everything that they can to recapture what people loved about Square Enix probably about 15 years ago. And if they don't do that, then they really have lost their way, and they are going to go the way of EA, and their profit margin is going to continue
shrink. But what I'm trying to ask you is that what have they done to indicate to you that that's a path that they would take? Nothing. They continuously put their best writers, their best directors on pet projects that they want to put out for other consoles and not their main consoles. They've continuously supported games that everybody clamor about, go out and buy, but take 20 years to come out. And as long as consumers give them their money, that's what they're going to do.
It's because they're bad at making action-oriented games. I think that's the biggest problem that they have. They can make turn-based games just fine. Octopath and Bravely Default function very, very well. Dragon Quest XI functions very, very well. Now, take your AAA graphics department and your excellent turn-based department Hartman and put them together. Boom. You're going to have a winning game, and I can guarantee that.
Yep, and that sounds too much like Wright for a company that hasn't shown you Wright in, what, 20 years?
So that's the problem, because no one can say that doing that wouldn't work. Look at what Persona did, right?
Right.
People want that. So what is it about Square Enix that they can't see this or that they don't want to do it?
What it was is that around the turn of the millennium, Square Enix drank the Kool-Aid that said turn-based is dying and going to be dead.
But they,
and
they proved to themselves it's not.
I totally agree with you. And they should follow the money. And if they're following the money, it's going to take them in the direction of games like Octopath and DQ 11 and Bravely Default. But it doesn't happen if you continue to give them, you know, very limited development budgets and very limited development tools. You got to have that AAA art department behind them as well.
I mean, here's the thing, and I mean, I don't know how many people are where I'm at. When I see a title is made by Square Enix, that's a knock against a game for me now. It's the same way I feel about EA. When I see that SE is on it, that's less likely I'm going to play it. I liked Octopath.
I
didn't love it.
I'm more critical of it. Yeah. No, you're right.
I loved Bravely Default, but Bravely Second was... yeah, okay at best.
And I mean, for a company that just released The Quiet Man, which is awful. The only review that I've heard of it is that it's the Room for video games. Like,
Ouch. That's
a pretty scathing indictment. But listen, we want to hear from you. How disappointed are you that Final Fantasy 15 won't be seeing all of the planned DLC? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on the gram. Still ahead on Checkpoint Daily, we'll take a look at Esquire's list that they call the real greatest list of all time. But is it as good as they think it is? Plus, several entities, including Ninja, have recognized that there's a nexus between music and esports, but what exactly is that nexus? Those discussions are ahead this hour here on Checkpoint XP. But ahead next, we'll check in with Joe over at the Checkpoint News Desk.
We're pretty big fans of Dr. Disrespect, and now he's going to be hosting an esports tournament. We'll tell you about it.
Gaming news is next here on Checkpoint XP.
This is Checkpoint Esports and Gaming Radio. This is Checkpoint Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointRadio.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on CBS Sports Radio 1300 in Baltimore, as well as the Ticket 1230 in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, Esquire just put out the real, for real, really real, best games of all time list. We're going to give our thoughts and opinions on that. Plus, we'll talk about the new league skins for KDA. Is that how you say
That's
it?
That's correct.
And how exactly esports and music converge. Those conversations are ahead this hour here on Checkpoint XP Daily. But first, let's check in with Joe over at the Checkpoint News Desk and get a gaming news update.
Gaming News Update with Joe Sloan.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
CheckpointRadio.com.
One of our favorite streamers, Dr. Disrespect, is diving deeper into esports. He's hosting a $20,000 Fortnite tournament that gets underway later tonight. The event is being held in collaboration with the Esports Arena.
Oh, maybe that's what Halifax is getting ready for. We watch a bunch of different streamers out in the green room before we start recording the show, and we usually generally leave it on. And as I was going out to get a drink, I noticed that Halifax, one of our favorites, was playing Fortnite.
After earlier saying he doesn't like third-person perspective.
So maybe he's getting into Disrespect's tournament.
Yeah, well, Dr. Disrespect does usually bring in streaming personalities and whatnot
for
his tournament.
Forgive you, Hallie.
I will forgive him this time, then.
As much as we may enjoy giving Hearthstone a hard time, it passed a pretty incredible milestone this week as Blizzard announced the game now has over 100 million players. Now, of course, player count and active players are very different things, but it's still quite a feat.
Listen, when your game... that's free, right? Hearthstone is free?
Yeah.
When your game is free and it's on as many devices as Hearthstone is...
sure.
That's a gimme.
No, it's not a gimme.
It's not
there's
a gimme,
way too
bro.
Many games out there that don't get to 100 million followers. Like, that's pretty impressive.
Mm.
In response to complaints, Nintendo has announced they'll be removing the Native American reference from the Mr. Game & Watch character in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. Nintendo has said the decades-old depiction does not reflect their current values and apologizes that the change was not reflected in the marketing material.
Pretty smart.
Yeah, they probably needed to do that. That was not going to be a good idea to put that out there into the mainstream.
Yeah, that was
Ultimate,
in there.
Yeah.
That was in there with Melee, right?
It was, yeah.
Yeah, that was something that got left in. Yeah, I get it. It's something that was in like the original like wristwatch game, yep. Like, with those old...
the Game & Watch.
Yeah, the Game & Watch games.
Right.
Yeah, something that probably needs to be taken out.
Sure.
Colorado elected a new governor earlier this week, one that is bringing a couple of firsts to the governor's house. First, he is the state's first openly gay governor, and he is also a self-styled gamer. He's spoken about being an avid League of Legends fan, in fact.
That is awesome.
You know, it's funny.
Those are great.
Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez out in New York is also a League fan and says, now that the campaign's over, she booted up League of Legends.
Yeah, and that she's in bronze, which, yeah, not surprising there. But that is so cool. I love hearing about politicians, public servants that are also gamers, you know, like... A lot of these, at least the way that they project themselves in the public, is without flaws, and you know, like they,
not that gaming is a flaw,
not that gaming is a flaw, but like they go home and they just kind of like
do politician stuff,
put themselves into the closet and turn off and boop down, right?
Right.
Like they go beep boop, time to shut down. Okay, right? Like, so to hear that, you know, like they're actual people with stuff that they do.
Enjoy.
Like us. Yeah, that's
but
awesome.
We've talked about that is that as being a gamer has less stigma attached to it. It's now
totally.
This means that it's gotten to the point where there's so little stigma on it that a politician is willing to take up that persona.
And it's totally acceptable.
Well, didn't the Colorado politician, he once actually lost because of the gamer stigma, I think.
Did he really?
Or at least it was used against
him. No, he almost got
him.
In trouble for it.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
So I'm happy to see that we're getting past the point where, like, if you're a gamer, that's something you have to keep secret in your professional
life. Yes, definitely.
On the side of not so good news for Riot, though, their situation with gender inequality continues to be a problem. While we haven't heard a lot on whether the situation is improving, we learned this week that a class action lawsuit has been filed against the company for gender discrimination and lost wages. When we know whether the situation is improving or not at Riot, we'll let you know. So... what's important to know is these are, again, this is a class action lawsuit being filed suit for what happened, you know, in the years leading up to the expose from
that
Kotaku.
That has already been reported on by Kotaku, by us, by many other outlets as well.
Now, that's not to say that things haven't improved or have improved. We literally do not know.
This is just the next step in the whole process. So,
While no one likes getting hit with a class action lawsuit, if you're Riot Games... you probably knew this was coming.
Yeah, you could probably expect it. You could see the writing on the wall.
Exactly. For those of you who had hoped Life is Strange 2 would continue Max and Chloe's story, like someone here, there may be some good news. While the game is telling another story with Life is Strange 2, a new comic series is set to continue the tale of our heroines from the first game. It's being distributed by Titan Comics, and issue 1 will be available on the 14th of November.
Now, I would have expected, Joe, that you would have been excited about this, but you had reservations based on the fact that it was coming out from Titan.
Yeah, here's the thing. Titan also did a Dark Souls comic that was awful.
Really?
They did. They do the Doctor Who comics, which I think are pretty terrible. I'm nervous that Titan is making it. I read the first couple pages because they had a preview of it. First few pages were pretty good, actually.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Fingers crossed.
To be fair, even someone like Marvel has been doing terrible stuff recently. So,
and what's weird though is that they're going to have to set an established canon for how the game ends for this to be possible.
Oh.
So that's interesting.
I do like the art though. I did see a couple of panels, and the art is gorgeous.
Yeah.
So I got to give them that.
Grand Theft Auto V has crossed yet another major milestone. The game has now moved over 100 million units. Not only is it one of the most profitable titles of all time just on its units moved, but the online mode continues to be a financial windfall.
You know what? Rockstar is going to take all the money they got and they're just going to build a whole separate life that you could live. Because, like, I'm playing Red Dead and I'm getting too invested, man. Like, I'm just sitting there, like, walking to places.
Dude.
I'm yielding to traffic. It's getting real bizarre,
you know,
man.
But you know that people are really bitching about that, though. The fact that, like, it's so, like, things take so long and that people are calling it too realistic.
Oh, great. That's where
get
we're
out,
at
Get out, man. Yeah, it's too realistic. Meanwhile, I throw on my bandana and I have total anonymity and I can commit any crime I can think of.
Hey, man, I was watching Sly, a.k.a. Gray Fox, a good friend of ours, streamer on Twitch, play Red Dead Redemption 2 last night, and he kept saying, man, we need fast travel. We need fast travel.
Maybe
so
he
bad.
Just hasn't unlocked it yet, because there is fast travel.
Dying, Sly.
That's all for the Checkpoint Gaming News Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Joe, for the update. Today saw the reveal of yet another Overwatch League branding. Yesterday, we saw some leaks of potential branding, and concern was today's reveal would either confirm or deny them. So, Robbie, gotta know.
You know what?
Confirmed or denied?
I'm actually going to throw it to Norris, because I think he probably suffered the most heartbreak out of this.
All right, because I've been talking to Robbie, and I'm saying, hey, you know, I like a lot of the French players. If France's branding is good, I might rock with him.
Oh,
France's branding is not good.
It's so bad.
Oh no,
it's so not bad. Good. So here's the thing. They are called the Paris Eternal.
I don't hate that.
That's
name.
Not the worst.
I don't
the
hate
worst
that name.
Part is that they use the rooster. There's an infinity symbol that shapes up the
body. I will give
them
that.
Rooster.
I actually didn't notice that until just
but
now.
But here's the thing that a lot of people... Okay.
They used a rooster as the picture?
Yeah. To the French, the Gaelic rooster is like a thing going all the way back to the French Revolution.
Sure,
it's
yeah.
a national symbol.
Yeah,
people in France would see this and immediately gravitate towards it in the way that we would to the bald eagle.
Sure. Right. Which is the point of the branding. The problem is that anyone outside of France is going to look at that, and you know the joke that's coming.
Yep. You
Come
know it's
on.
Coming.
Yeah, now... You,
is, no. it, is it that the French are chickens? Because that's the one that came to mind.
Man, there's a bunch of jokes here, well, and that's the problem.
Here's the point, Nate. Yeah, I hadn't even thought of that joke, and oh yeah. Yeah, there's
oh,
that
yeah.
too.
There's that
now,
one too.
Now, what Nate was alluding to, though, is that, yes, there was a leak that basically said, had soft confirmed a bunch of these different brandings, and basically everything except for Vancouver.
Well, and apparently, that leak had been farmed out of the API of the official
app. That's right. And now that...
So Blizzard really has no one to blame but themselves. They leaked it on themselves.
Yeah, and because Paris ended up being correct,
the other ones
assume...
have a strong chance. I mean, there's something maybe a couple people can change a mock-up or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. But these
look like final logos.
Yeah. It does. So we've got a couple here that we'll take a look at. The Hangzhou Spark.
It just looks like finger guns.
Okay, no. It's literally finger guns.
Thank you. It's finger guns.
It's the Yusuke Urameshi finger gun.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. Vegeta's Gallic gun.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. Then down here you have the Guangzhou Charge.
Okay, this is
lazy.
Patently awful.
It's terrible.
But it's got
Joe
a lightning
said he
bolt
liked
in it.
It.
It's one of the only ones that I liked.
What?
There is a bolt in the dead space in there.
Yeah, there's a bolt in the dead space.
I don't like it, though.
By the way, here's my biggest critique of this one. When I saw it, I thought, G2 Esports has a team.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's what I thought immediately when I saw it.
I thought the same thing. Coming down here, we've got the Chengdu Hunters.
I actually don't mind the logo.
The angry panda.
Yeah, just a really pissed panda. I don't understand. Understand it, though. I don't know what pandas have to do with hunting. And then, of course, we wrap up here with the Washington Justice, which basically has Captain America's shield.
Captain America's shield.
I mean, it's close enough. If you know a Captain America's shield, you kind of know what this looks like.
I really dig this one, actually.
This is the only one that I'm like, okay, this I will accept.
And it makes sense because it's Washington, D.C.
Because it's Washington, D.C., and I think the Justice is appropriate branding for Washington,
too. I don't know. I just think Marvel may have a case here.
I don't know.
First they had MLB suing over the Overwatch League logo. Now they're going to have Marvel on their backs.
I had totally forgotten about that whole lawsuit. Well, listen, we want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on the gram. Let us know what you think of each one of the new OWL team brandings. Still ahead on Checkpoint, we'll take a look at this year's opening ceremony at Worlds, because Riot is doing something pretty unique to sell their new skins. That conversation will wrap up today's Checkpoint Daily. But ahead next, Esquire has put out a list of the real, and I mean for real, top 20 games of all time. Let's see how this one measures up. Stick around. That discussion is ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint Radio. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointradio.com. This is Checkpoint, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointRadio.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening out in Colorado on ESPN Denver 1600, 104.3 The Fan, as well as Extra Sports 1300 in Colorado Springs. Make sure you visit our website at CheckpointXP.com for full episodes on demand, both of the weekly national show and the brand new Checkpoint Daily. Podcasts like the Checkpoint Podcast, as well as our Overwatch podcast, Low Team Damage, and an archive of our interviews like Uber and Puckett Casters for the Overwatch League, Esports lawyer Ryan Fairchild, and probably our best interview to date, a epic 20-minute throwdown with Arnie Roth, conductor for Distant Worlds. Find those all at our website, CheckpointXP.com. Recently, Esquire decided to put out a list of what they determined the real greatest video games list of all time. All right, Esquire, let's see what you got.
Yeah, so
show me what you got!
Come forth, coward!
First of all, let's just get this out of the way. Esquire?
Yeah.
Who?
That seems to be kind of a weird...
They did the G4. They took over G4.
Fun fact, the Esquire network was what took over G4 when G4 finally folded. They had decided to show 007 movies on G4 on loop for a year before they shut it down. And I think they just changed all the branding over to Esquire because it sounded more high class and still just showed Bond movies all the time.
Okay.
I don't know what goes on there.
Well, here's their top 20 games of all time.
Hold on. No. Not just their top 20. The real 20
greatest games of all time.
We're not playing here. This is not for play.
Listen, if you wonder why we abuse this list, okay, that's why.
It's because they said it was the real.
The real. Ugh.
In parentheses.
Ugh, I hate that. Stop trying to do that. I hate when websites do that. Like, oh, here's the definitive. This is just your opinion and you're an idiot.
Well, here's number 20. Lord of the Rings, Return of the King on PS2.
Wow.
Oh, come on.
We're off to a great start here.
Immediately.
It's
a good game.
No, but I mean, like, 20 red flags are going off already.
Hold on, Norris. Was that the one you could play two-player with people and you basically just went around curb stomping orcs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun.
That was a good game.
Really? No. Not top 20 all time.
Top 20 all time? No.
Top 20 all time?
No.
Number 19, Battlefield 1942.
Come on, Esquire. You're just making this too easy to beat up on you. Listen, Battlefield 1942, great game.
Transformative game.
Played a lot of it.
We're only two in, and CXC Decibels in our chat over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp says, turn the list off. We're done here.
But I mean, like, already we're two in, and I'm like, I'm furious.
It's not going to get better.
Dude, it's going to get worse before it gets
Battlefield
better.
Battlefield 2 is better than Battlefield 1942.
Number 18, Mario Kart 8.
Wrong.
I mean, come on, buddy. It's not even the best Mario Kart, but okay, it's okay.
Why the 8th one?
I don't know.
Because it was the last one he played.
Norris, you're going to have to help me with this one. Number 17, Pro Evolution Soccer 6.
Wow, I did not see that coming.
6? Huh. Why 6?
All right,
but
this has got to be...
Hold up. No FIFA games on this list, though.
No, this has to be an Englishman writing this. This has to be. Because only an Englishman would put PES 6.
I've never even played a soccer game.
No, I don't know why you would.
Instead of FIFA.
I don't know why you would.
But it doesn't deserve to be there.
Number 16, Tetris.
Yes.
That's legit.
Fine.
That can go on there.
Top 20? Sure.
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 Number 15.
I don't even care about the placement. Placement's fine.
Yeah. Grand Theft Auto Vice City.
Yes.
I agree with that. No, it's my favorite one ever.
Norris, what are you talking about? Vice City was one of the best GTAs ever. Ever. Yes.
San Andreas is better in every way.
Nope.
Yes, it is.
Nope.
San Andreas is better.
Nope.
I loved Vice City.
San Andreas is better.
Vice City, because of the setting and the characters, top San Andreas for me. Nope.
Ooh. All right, number 14 I've never heard of. What's Theme Hospital?
What?
I don't know.
Can someone tell me what Theme Hospital is?
Get out, Esquire. You're drunk. Go home.
You can't just make up games.
Oh, please. Number 13, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. No, this is fine.
Number 12, Snake.
Stop it.
You know, like the mobile
game? On your phone, Snake,
yeah.
Now, what I will give them is that it is people probably spent more time with that because they had their phone on them and they were bored.
It was the first mobile game.
Right, exactly.
So Theme Hospital is basically like a hospital sim.
Nobody was asking. Nobody wanted to know. You did not need to look that up.
Now you have it.
Well, you're an idiot.
Number 11, Broken Sword. What's that? I don't know. Don't look it up,
no,
Robbie. I don't
want to
know.
Stop it.
I don't
know. You don't want to know.
Number 10, Pokemon Crystal.
That's an obscure choice.
That's a weird choice.
Crystal?
Crystal?
As opposed to...
Was that the yellow for Diamond and Pearl? Was that what that crystal was?
Yes.
No, what? Crystal?
Oh, yeah, was that the yellow version of Diamond and Pearl?
No.
Gold and Silver.
Gold and Silver. Yeah, it was Gen 2.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
I mean, like, yeah, Gen 2 was still right at the height of Pokemon
craze. That's fair, then.
Maybe that might be okay.
Number 9, Super Mario 64.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah,
Number 8,
somewhere.
GoldenEye 007.
Yeah. Okay,
okay.
Now this is starting to get better. This is starting to move in the right direction.
Number 7, Batman Arkham City.
I'll allow it.
At seven?
It's way too high, but I'll allow it.
I'd put an Arkham game on there because we would wouldn't have Spider-Man without the Arkham games.
Yep.
Number 6, Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Not over Ocarina.
No. Yeah. No, I will agree with that. Not over Ocarina.
Thirded.
I'm torn on that. Number 5, Portal. Absolutely.
Yeah. That's fine.
Totally.
That scans.
Okay. How about number 4, Metal Gear Solid?
Yep. Come on.
How is that not number one?
Come on.
Well,
that's number one.
You know what's going to be number one.
Number one, clearly.
Number 3 is an interesting one. Monkey Island.
I am actually going to defend this.
That.
Yes, no.
I'll allow
that. I'm 100% with you, Norris. I will allow this. I played a lot of Monkey Island.
I did too.
Guybrush Threepwood.
Yeah. It's just, for all the games that are on here, that's a weird one. Like, I don't feel like the same person who said that one who said all the other games.
Okay, I feel you, but Monkey Island definitely deserves to be on there.
Top 20, sure.
Yeah.
Top 3,
I mean, you got to have some kind of representation of Sierra. You're right. Definitely not.
No, top 3, no.
Definitely not top 3.
No,
and I don't know why I said Sierra, because that was a Lucas game. But that whole genre, right? Like, they made...
The point-and-click adventure.
Exactly. They made similar style games, which is how I kind of got them confused. But yeah, no, I think you have to have some kind of inclusion, but definitely not top 3.
Number 2, Pokemon Go.
Stop it.
What?
Stop
Pokemon
it.
Go.
It is.
It's transformative.
Transformative for sure.
It's changed gaming forever. It is not the second best game of all time.
Nope. If it was, I would still be playing it with as much gusto today as I did when I first downloaded
it. But
it
is the real second best game of all time.
Oh, it's the worst. Number 1, Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, it's clear because Robbie wrote this list.
Robbie's a writer for Esquire, did you know?
I didn't know you were writing for Esquire, Robbie. Congratulations.
This sounds like a trash list he would come up with.
Yeah, it does.
Now the cat's out of the bag. By the way, Broken Sword is a franchise centered on a series of adventure games.
You would know because you wrote this list.
You wrote the list.
So I need to know, why did you include Pro Evolution Soccer 6?
No, now my deep, dark secret is really out, guys.
Or Snake.
You're a sports fan, too, as it turns out.
Yeah, I love that sports ball.
This was not
this
the
is a
real
vomit-inducing list.
No, yeah, this was bad. This was off base on a lot of entries. But
on
listen,
about half of them.
Yeah, I would say a little bit more than half,
Yeah.
But listen, we want to hear from you. Do you agree with Esquire's list? Should Esquire even be making video game lists?
No.
What are they doing? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on the gram. Coming up next on Checkpoint, we have to talk about this crazy alternative reality performance that Riot Games set up to promote their new KDA skins. Stick around. That conversation, we'll play a little bit of the video, but that conversation is ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily from Beasley Esports XP and Westwood One.
Checkpoint, Esports and Gaming Radio. This is Checkpoint, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointRadio.com.
Hey, welcome back to Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. My name is Nate Bender, so glad to have you along. I want to thank everyone listening on 98.5, the Sports Hub of Boston, as well as the Team 980 in Washington, D.C. Make sure you're following us at our freshly partnered Twitch channel over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. We've got tons of new emotes, including each one of our faces, as well as not one, but two cat emotes. We know how much the internet loves cats. Tali and Fritz are actual cats, have been turned into Twitch emotes. There's only one place to get them. That's at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. The opening ceremonies at this year's League of Legends World Championships were insane. Riot is no stranger to staging big events around Worlds to help promote League of Legends and new champion skins. Well, this year, Riot brought members of the K-pop group G-Idle together with American singers Madison Beer and Jaria Burns to perform a full stage performance complete with League of Legends champions rocking those new skins, performing alongside the actual singers.
Yeah, it was crazy. Like, they're doing like this big countdown that leads like into the opening ceremonies beginning. And as they get down under 10, all of a sudden, different League of Legends champions start appearing. Kai'Sa, Ahri, Akali, and
Evelynn,
thank you. And each one of them appears in their normal skin, and then in this weird new skin that we hadn't seen before. And then they get revealed as being KDA,
yep.
A new pop group within the League of Legends universe that the four of them are.
A digital pop group.
A digital pop group.
This is basically like the Hatsune Miku type of thing where they had a VR, you know, character that was performing real songs. Like, she sold out entire arenas.
Kind of reminds me of Gorillaz.
It's exactly what it is.
I hadn't thought of Gorillaz in a really long time, but like, it is a little bit kind of based off of that.
They just came out with a new album and slapping.
And this isn't the first time that Riot's done something like this. They have a metal band as well, or a rock band, Plentakill, which is what made of their own characters as well. They were performing. They have like the League of Legends characters are dancing and performing alongside.
Yeah, let's actually check out a little bit of video of this. I mean, you actually have, like, here's the actual singers and performers that are actually doing the song.
Right.
And then you have, at different moments on the stage, you've got these digital characters that, I mean, clearly they're plugged in post. They're not actually there, like, live, if you're there live.
Right.
But, I mean, that is like some, you know what, I'm getting some really Macross vibes here. Like,
it's Min-Min-Meg.
Yes, that's exactly it. It's a little bit, it's like futuristic, but in a very almost like creepy manner.
So what you're saying is that anime has pretty much already, you know, projected this to happen, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
And on top of that, yeah, I'm noticing like this very cool, interesting sort of symbiosis between esports and music, right? Because a lot of games have, you know, these performances at their championships. They tried to have DJ Khaled out at OWL.
Tried. Well,
but they tried.
You also have out at PAX, they always have a musical number that's performing at PAX.
Yeah.
Nate with the Macross reference FTW.
Nice. Jason, the producer, chiming in on our BitBot over at twitch.tv/checkpointXP. All you got to do is cheer a couple of bits in our chat room, and your message gets read here on the air at Checkpoint XP.
But speaking of that, Joe, even out at BlizzCon, DJ Hodor performed on the Overwatch stage.
I got to remember his real name, because DJ Hodor is not his name.
Narn is his last name. That's as much as I know.
But it is. It's an interesting thing, and especially with Ninja making his album now. Like, there's already sort of like a, you know, Twitch music, like streamer music.
Well, what is it, though? Like, if you had to define that genre of music, what do you think it is? Because it's actually, like, I think a little bit more ephemeral and ethereal than you think that it is.
It's the EDM version of Muzak, right? It's literally the EDM version of elevator music. Like,
it's like synth meets trance meets chiptune.
I mean, where do
those three things combine?
I mean, I think that that's all accurate, but I also think that that's all, you know, very much youth-oriented music. Like, that's the way that, like, pop music is being produced nowadays, too. And I mean, like, you look at labels like Monster Cat that have actively tried to maintain a presence here on Twitch, and I think that that's, you know, like, that is very much kind of the vibe. And you're right, EDM mixed with trance, a little bit of chiptune vibe, but I definitely think that there's also this very strong connection and affinity to music that either samples or outright remixes video game melodies and themes.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, to try to separate those two worlds is very difficult.
No, I think it's absurdly difficult, but I think it would behoove both industries to sort of recognize that symbiosis and play off of it, right? So, Robbie, we went out to BlizzCon where it got announced that Lucio, the character Lucio from Overwatch, they made a full album for him.
Right.
He dropped an album.
And a serial.
Yeah, so it's one of those types of things where, again, you know, we've talked about how does esports sort of grow in the public consciousness. In a way, it's kind of stuff like this, too, because let's say this K-pop group from League of Legends makes an album and it's
slapping.
No, I'm saying let's say the whole album comes out. It hits Spotify. You know, I mean, I'm talking 15, 16 tracks and it slaps and everybody latches onto it because it's good music. And then it funnels people directly back to the product.
Yeah, here's the thing is that ever since that performance and the video of each of the character skins performing the song has come out. By the way, the song is called Popstar if you want to look it up. Like, song streams, downloads of the song have skyrocketed.
Yeah, the song
people genuinely love the song.
The song is charting number one in all of K-pop right now.
Really?
Yeah, it's charted number one in K-pop.
Now, you can't deny that. I mean, K-pop is a force in and of itself. So,
huge brand.
Yeah, you know, we here in the West can't really fully size that up with the...
It's happening, though.
But, I mean, like, that's a huge, huge deal.
I've actually seen it now on a few friends' Facebook pages who aren't into esports, aren't gamers, and, like, you know, they've stumbled across the music video for it, and they're like, I don't know what it is about this, but this is amazing.
I mean, listen, the music video, legit, that they did with the hero skins...
It's great.
Very cool. I mean, especially the one girl who has the mask.
Bandana.
Yeah, the moving bandana.
Yeah.
Very cool. And I can see how this is resonating. And to me, I think it's just fascinating that it's a totally fabricated construct of Riot, because I naturally sort of saw it and I figured, like, oh, this is some group that they hired to perform and you know that is huge in Korea. And then I started doing digging and it's like, no, they created it out of G Idol and these other two American singers, and it's like this very real, genuine effort to put out a very real
machine.
Song.
Yeah, it's a pop machine, you know, sort of machination. It's how girl groups and stuff back in the day used to get put together. So it's a very it's almost as if Atlantic Records was behind the scenes doing this with them at how good and how, you know, well orchestrated it was.
Well, I mean, if this Ninja Works project really takes off, I think that you're going to have record labels looking at the esports industry and the video game industry as their next potential to find or farm talent to bring into the music industry.
Well, and you go back and listen to some of the stuff that they did with Plentakill. I mean, they were doing this same concept years ago with that group.
Yeah.
And I mean
it's legit metal. It's very good.
That's what
too.
I mean. As we're talking completely different genres, and yet it's still all tied back into video game. It's fusing different genres in a way that you haven't seen in a long time in music.
But just like most things, the FGC was doing it before everybody, because they had people doing all types of chops and remixes and performances decades ago.
All right, we got to leave it right there. Thanks for joining us for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a full archive of episodes, podcasts, and interviews. Checkpoint XP Daily will be back tomorrow discussing the YouTuber who got banned for targeting feminists in Red Dead Redemption 2. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Thanks to our executive producing team of Buzz Knight, Mike Thomas, and Rick Scott. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Corpus, and of course my co-hosts who pulled double duties as producers for Checkpoint XP. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and over at the Checkpoint News Desk, Joe Sloan. My name's Nate Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint Radio, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointradio.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.